I'm Stephen John Drew from the official GunnaGeek.com show, a weekly geek news podcast that is a part of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're checking out now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other awesome geeky shows at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And welcome to the second of our Patreon first things. I don't know if this is going to have a real name or not. Bonus episodes for Play Comics. Today, I am talking to Charlie from the Young Ones about wrestling because for some reason, I look on Twitter and all the comics people that I follow, like 98% of them, it seems like, also post about wrestling. And I have no idea what's going on there. So, Charlie, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself so that we can know who I'm learning from.
All right. So my name is Charlie Davis. I co-host a podcast called The Young Ones with my partner Mikey and our friend Reed, all about teen superhero teams and why we love them. I'm not a comics journalist, but I do a lot of comics writing and reviews over on xavierviles.com. I kind of like bounce freelance around in that. I've been doing that for a little bit. But I also enjoy, as you have alluded to, the wrestling, which is not necessarily a new thing for me, but it is something I've revisited very recently within the last 2 to 3 months. Time's flying because it feels like it's just about been like 4 weeks ago. Other than that, as you have seen, my Twitter has become a place where I normally would talk all about comics and all of that. And while I haven't abandoned comics because I still read comics every week, I've taken a little bit of a detour to the wrestling times, which, as you stated, do share quite a bit of DNA with comics, which is probably why you see individuals who both like comics and wrestling and how those things kind of merge together.
I'm coming into this. I know some names. Okay. I have probably played some of the wrestling video games.
Okay. There's been a lot. There have been a lot for me. Okay. You said you know some names. Names. Name the names.
I know that Hulk Hogan is a wrestler.
Yes.
I know that The Rock was a wrestler.
Yes.
Okay, I know like two names. And if you said names, I could probably recognize if they were a wrestler.
Okay, that's fair. See, it's interesting because wrestling is something that I would say in the last maybe from 2013 to now, maybe had a bit of a renaissance in the realm of pop culture. Because way back when I was a teenager, or just a very young teenager, so like 12 or 13, I really liked wrestling in what was called the Attitude Era. Is that a familiar term to you?
Just that it exists.
Okay. So the Attitude Era of wrestling was basically when wrestling was at its most popular ever. So that would be from like 1998 to 2001. So that was when The Rock was around. That's when he was super popular. That's when Stone Cold Steve Austin was probably the most popular wrestler that ever was and probably ever will be, just because of how those things happened. And I was really into wrestling because it like hit at the time when I was just like old enough to kind of like pick and choose the things that I really enjoyed. And it was just like something that like me, my dad watched it. I watched it. Like, I didn't know anybody who didn't at least know about it. Can't be said, the same thing can't be said for like any time after that, because once it had its big thing in the late 90s, early 2000s, kind of like fell back down. Like, everybody is like, oh, okay, wrestling. And I don't really know about that. So it simmered down for quite a long time. And it's just in the past like 6 or 7 years come back around to a place where I think everybody is comfortable or more comfortable, especially since like quote unquote nerd stuff is more popular now, to say that, hey, this is something that I enjoy, because it is something that has a bit of a connotation to it. In which people maybe don't want to admit that they like it or derive some sort of enjoyment from it, because it is, as one may know, not real, quote, what we call a scripted sports entertainment program. So, no, maybe they're not really hurting each other as badly as you might think, but it is something that takes a great deal of athleticism. And it's not easy. So I liken it more to like a theater type of situation. What they call sports entertainment. That's kind of what they call it. It fits in that vein. So it's kind of like a mixture between some sort of soap opera, some sort of sports. It sits in a really nebulous, weird area. But it is definitely one of a kind.
Well, yeah, the not fakeness, I guess, is something else that I kind of knew.
Yeah, it's definitely a, like, it is predetermined. So, just so everybody knows, it's more like, it's honestly more like some sort of like staged like performance art than it is like, I guess, like boxing. It's got more to do with like a musical or like a stage theater than it does like UFC fighting, in my humble opinion, which is why I think a lot of comics people gravitate towards it, because it is really story driven. It's not just about the matches. I would say for a lot of people, it isn't about that. It's about the characters and the story. Just basically anything, like anything else.
So that I'm assuming you'd have good guys and bad guys in the whole situation, right?
Oh, yes. So the bad guys in wrestling are called heels, and the good guys in wrestling are called baby faces or faces. So basically the shows are, and there's a couple different wrestling promotions, but the one most people know is WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment. And it is very much like a good guy versus bad guy type of situation. But in all things, you also have like some people that fit into the gray area. Like the best stories are kind of told with people who, you know, you can see where they're coming from, but maybe you don't want to root for them. So it's, yes. So there are good guys and bad guys. It is very much something that you can tell, you could be able to tell right away who those people are just based on their wrestling gimmicks. So like a gimmick would be like what their wrestling persona is. Like obviously somebody's, people aren't really using their real names. So say like the gentleman I enjoy, Jon Moxley, his name isn't Jon Moxley. His name is Jonathan Good, but his wrestling persona is Jon Moxley. So he is his like gimmick is that he's like toughest, like baddest, sickest guy around. And he loves violence, but he also has this like moral code where he like wants to beat you like fair and square. Like he doesn't use underhanded tactics, but like you can't make him stay down. So that's like kind of his like full gimmick. And there are far and wide very a varied array of different gimmicks, from something down to earth like that to something like someone from space, because that is somebody's wrestling gimmick on the same show. They are from the Andromeda galaxy. They are not a human. They are an alien.
So then presumably your boy, Jonathan Moxley, could become a bad guy?
Very much so. That is something that happens kind of organically in the stories. Like, people can start out as a face or as a heel, and then through the progression of the story, either redeem themselves and become a face, or, you know, for some reason the face turns heel. And that can happen most of the time. You want that to happen like during like a large story, just like anything else. Like, oh, if someone suddenly turns evil, there's got to be a good reason for it. Satisfying reason, at least. But yes, Mox could potentially be a heel at some point in time. Would I still cheer for him? Probably. Depending on how despicable things get. But his former persona in WWE before he left that company, he had been like a face his entire run, basically. And then he turned heel like months before he left. So it's possible. Yes, it's very possible. But I guess that's one of the reasons why you watch wrestling, is to see like how these stories play out and if someone maybe is justified in the bad things that they're doing. They try and make it black and white, but like all things, it's never really that.
So changing companies seems like a weird thing to me. I don't know why.
Because it kind of is. It is. So for there's a little history lesson. So there used to be tons of different wrestling companies. Like, when I say used to be, like way, way back, like in the 80s, there's like little promotions that would pop up every now and again. And then there was like, then there was WWF at the time, which is what WWE is now, and WCW, which was World Championship Wrestling. After like either one of those big companies bought all the other little promotions, it was WCW and WWF. They were the only two games in town. And up until 2001, they were battling for rating supremacy on television. You could have the craziest show. You could have the most unpredictable stuff. You could have the best characters, the best wrestling. Like, that was definitely going on until WWF bought WCW and could basically consolidated. And since 2001, there has not been more than one big wrestling company that does televised shows every week. For the past like 20 years, it's been WWE. That's it. That's the only game on the block. At least as far as like non-indie wrestling companies are concerned. Like, you either were in WWE or you were on the indies making probably no money and not having your stuff on TV, not having ways to promote yourself, stuff like that. So as of last year, however, there was finally a new company funded and televised back on the same network that WCW used to be on every week, which is kind of a weird thing. So while there are lots of little indies, there are really now two companies, and it is kind of weird to switch, because John spent 8 years with WWE as Dean Ambrose, and now he moved over to AEW, which is the new company, and took his old indie moniker back, John Moxley, and kind of like wanted to reinvent himself due to some he wasn't happy where he was at the end of that whole situation. So, you know, he decided to move on. But it is a little strange having like basically your whole career be with one company and then suddenly having to like go switch. It doesn't happen a whole lot because WWE usually is it for people. It is where you want to end up, what you want to do, like the big time. Like that's when you get there, you make it. But it's not that simple. So some people decide to come and go. And, you know, most people don't stay gone from WWE forever because it's still the top echelon. It's got the most production value. It's the shiniest wrestling product on TV. And it is shiny as far as like HD and like production values is concerned. But I'm glad that there is a viable alternative now. I think that it probably only makes wrestling better.
Speaking of shininess, I've noticed that a lot of times in pictures that I see, the wrestlers look wet.
Yes.
And not just like they've been doing physical activity and they're sweating wet. They look like they were outside playing in the rain. Is there a reason for that besides that it looks cool?
Okay. So it's very prevalent with the wrestlers that I enjoy for some crazy reason. So I like a group called The Shield, who had Dean Ambrose as a member, along with Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, and they are they all look very wet. Seth and Roman look wet more often than not because they have long hair. But wrestlers wet their hair for a couple different reasons, and I just learned this not super recently, but probably like a month or so ago. One, it's very hot under the lights. So getting wet or getting your hair wet, it kind of helps obviously to like cool that whole situation down. Two, the wet hair, much like drawing people with long hair in comic books, the wet hair is a little more cinematic. So when you get hit or you take a move or you take a bump, the wet hair kind of like helps to like emphasize that. So, oh, this looks more dramatic now because there's like flowing hair involved, something you might not get with like not wet hair. And three, the wet hair actually kind of helps them, like kind of like shields them a little from, I don't know how to explain this. So when someone's in a ring, even though the match is predetermined, the wrestlers are still talking to each other, like about what they're going to do next. So yeah, the match might have like an outcome, but it's kind of your job to get there. So not only are you like playing to the crowd and like doing these extremely physical things, but you're like communicating with you, the person in the ring with you on, hey, what are we going to do next? What are we doing next? So it's my understanding that if you have long hair and it's wet, it's kind of like a little bit of a curtain, a little more like a curtain, for you to like be able to communicate with the other wrestlers and like not make it obvious that you're doing so. Because when you watch a good wrestling match, you're probably never really like, you see people talking to each other, but it doesn't ever really look like you're choreographing something, but they very much are doing that every time they get in a ring.
So ever since I words are hard. So ever since I learned it was scripted, and which granted was probably like when I was 8 or something, I always just kind of assumed that the entire thing was scripted. So the fact that you're sitting there telling me that they'll like figure out what they're going to do next in the ring is blowing my mind right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's why it's harder than it seems. I mean, I think, and it seems pretty hard even if you don't know that. So it's not like they are practicing like the match for that specific thing anytime before they go out and do it. They know what they're going to do. Like they know, okay, or maybe even they know like the sequence of events. So I'm going to go up in the top rope. I'm going to give you a superplex. We're going down. Like the match is like in this match, we're going to go up the ladder. Like we're going to take a spot or two off the ladder. And then this is how the match is going to end. But they know those things. But like, how do you get from point A to point B is all happening in the ring. So it's a little crazy.
So, it was just like full on like movie choreographed fight.
Mm-mm. Nope. That's why it's kind of dangerous. And people get hurt when necessarily you might think that, hey, if you've practiced this, then obviously you know how you're going to fall and what you're going to do. But it takes like a court level of trust with the person you're in the ring with. And it's also why you see some wrestlers definitely have better chemistry than others in the ring together, because they work off. It's just like being paired up with somebody, like to work on something. Some people work well together. Other people just don't click. So, you know, someone like, you know, the Shield, who do like immaculate six-man tag team matches because they know what they're going to do when they're going to do it. This is what we do now. They have like perfect synchronicity with one another. It's always like a good thing, a good time, a good thing to watch. But then you get something, you're like, oh, that, yeah, I don't think that match really worked very well, which is a combination of one, maybe the wrestlers not being like super familiar with one another, maybe the wrestlers not being great, or, you know, fan interaction also comes into play. Like, you want people to boo the heels when they, you know, are getting ahead in a match. You want people to cheer the faces. Like, you want the crowd to be with you in the match, because the crowd's dead. Just like any sporting event, you're like, okay, why are we here? You know, what are we doing here? So you want people to be engaged, but you only get that engagement if the story that you're telling before and during and after the match are all like good. It's just like, yeah, I liken it to anything else. Like, these are characters on a TV show that you're watching, and you want to make sure that they, you know, are good, full characters. And the match, at its best, the wrestling match, is an extension of the story. So yeah, it's like awesome to watch, and it's like cool and athletic, but it's also like, at its best, it like tells a story also.
Well, that just makes it seem so much cooler than I ever thought it could be.
It's, I think it would surprise a lot of people. I think if you knew where to go, what to watch, what things you wanted to see, what you liked, the kind of characters that you liked, the kind of stories that you wanted, I think it would be a lot easier or better for people to get into comics. Because, not comics, well, wrestling. Because I was going to liken it to comics. So comics has this vast amount of people who, you know, hey, if you like this character, here's this reading order. Here's these arcs. I really like this one. Here's these really cool stories. Go check it out. You've got tons of people that put that stuff together for comic books. And, you know, lots of this is like old. It's not changing. Here it is. I don't really have that for wrestling, which is kind of got this huge back catalog. And these all these characters that nobody's really helping you sift through. So I think if somebody was out there saying, you know, hey, if you like this certain thing, check this out. Like, check these things out. Check these characters out. Check these matches out. You know, check the storyline out. Like, where do I find that? Like, how do I get there? It's easy now because of things like WWE Network have a tremendous, like, back catalog at your fingertips to watch. But I think it would help if somebody was willing to put in the time and say, hey, you like this, you might like this, and here is where you start. Because otherwise, it's kind of impenetrable if you don't know where to go, or if you don't have a character that you like, or a hook to get you in. So, you know, me and Mikey are actually starting another podcast kind of dedicated to that. So, like, yes, the young ones will still be with us, but we're trying to start like a podcast that is it kind of inclusive like that, that kind of like helps you navigate, or helps people navigate these feuds and like these character arcs, and you know, what's good about them, what's maybe not so good about them, and like just give someone a place to kind of hook in if they want.
So how much of the back catalog of matches is worth actually going and looking for versus just kind of like picking what you think you like now and jumping right into it?
I think there's so much. So this is going to sound absurd and longer than you probably would even care to watch on television, but every Monday Night Raw and every Friday Night SmackDown, so Raw and SmackDown, two WWE shows that are on right now, are both 3 hours long. That's a lot. That's a lot of wrestling for one sitting. It is obviously not all matches, but that is a lot, which means those 3 hour programs have been 3 hours for probably at least 10 years now. So as far as like what's worth watching, it's kind of without a guide, without like somebody sitting you down and saying, hey, this is really cool, you should watch it. I think it would be rather impossible to find just by combing through the back catalog to find something that you liked. But there are like famous matches that are definitely ones to seek out. So I think probably any wrestling fan will probably have a list of like 5 matches that if you ask them, they say, if you said, hey, I'm trying to get into wrestling, what should I watch? They could probably give you at least 5 matches that say, hey, these are the really great ones. If you think you want to get into wrestling, watch this, and by the end, you'll know if it's for you or not.
Well, good, because like 20 years of 3 hours, that is, it's too late in the day for math, but that's a lot.
That's a lot. It's a whole lot. Like, if you said, I asked you, let's just do a trial run. If I said, hey, you know, what kind of stories do you like, end up liking, what kind of characters do you like? Like, that might not get us too far. But if I say, hey, do you want to like watch this wrestler who's like really good at flips and acrobatics and things like that? Like, if I narrow down like a style that you might like, it might be a little bit easier. So everybody likes flips. Do you like flips?
I mean, like you said, everybody likes flips.
Okay. So if you told me that and I said, okay, well, let's find you a match where there's a lot of high flying, that could be where we start. So I could take you anywhere from back in the Attitude Era, like tag team wrestling back then was like amazing. There was a lot of ladder matches back then because the guys were like flipped off the ladders and it was astonishing. So I could go back there and I could watch a tables, ladders, and chairs match. And you'd know by the end if it was something for you, or we could go up, you know, pretty recently. And I could watch, we could watch something like, you know, Seth Rollins do a Phoenix Splash off the top rope, which is a extremely technical high flying move. And if that was good for you, you'd probably want to watch more stuff with Seth in it. There are just wrestlers that are kind of do different styles. So not everybody can do that kind of athletic work. But if that's what you're looking for, you know, there's a whole bunch of guys that do it. And that's probably the vein you wouldn't want to dig into. You know, Dean's not a high flyer. John's not a high flyer. He is a brawler. Like, he will just beat you down. And like, he's got a different moveset than like Seth has and things like that. So it's a little like trading cardy, if that makes sense. So it's like, this guy can do this. And like, you turn his card over and he's got like a bunch of moves on the back. But that's kind of how it is. Like, people have like moves that they do and every once in a while they'll surprise you, but someone settles into a style, you kind of know what to expect with them. And it's not always obviously the same because people are kind of making this up as they go, but they have like a tried and true like style that they hold on to.
It sounds kind of like picking your main fighter in a fighting game and how I tend to like fast people.
Very much so. Very much so. So there are guys, obviously, that are quicker than others. The smaller you are, obviously, the quicker and like the more lithe you are, the quicker you are. It's, you know, and there's different quote unquote, like weight class, not necessarily weight classes, but like, you know, mid card people, you know, the people that are on the top, you know, it, and it's all different shapes and sizes. So, you know, by kind of looking at somebody, if they're gonna like what they're capable of doing. Sometimes people surprise you. Sometimes people that don't look like they are capable of doing flips can do flips. But it's all kind of in like what somebody's build is and like their level of athleticism. They don't let people like, that's the thing about the WWE. They don't want people taking unnecessary risks because that's not good for anybody. So maybe you won't see as much like spectacularly dangerous action as you might in like an indie promotion or something like that. But it's all basically about keeping people safe.
So what about like the Mexican wrestling with the masks?
Okay, so luchadors are kind of their own thing. There are definitely lucha wrestlers on the WWE roster and in the AEW roster for that matter. The Lucha Bros, very good, very, very good wrestlers. And that is almost always like high flying flips, like very, very, not flamboyant, but it's very much a spectacle. So luchadors like definitely have the spectacle part of the wrestling. Obviously they have the colorful masks and the masks obviously mean something to the luchadors, and demasking a luchador is like, no, you don't do that. That is something you absolutely do not do. But that's definitely its own little niche style, which I said, like I said, is like very much like off the top rope flips, like crazy fast things, stuff like that.
Is there anything else I should be asking you about?
I don't know. It's hard to consolidate like 20 years of wrestling. But my main takeaways are, if you like good stories and you like really cool, like sports, not necessarily even sports, like, if you like gymnastics, like if you like watching gymnastics that are a little bit more violent looking and have full contact with other people's bodies, wrestling might be for you. If you like just like really wild and crazy things happening, wrestling might be for you. There is a large number of supernatural occurrences that happen in wrestling. The canon of wrestling, so like everything that you're supposed to believe is quote unquote real, is called kayfabe. It's a good term to know. So like it's the canon of wrestling. So anything outside of kayfabe is real life. But while we're watching wrestling, we're buying into kayfabe, which is like the world of the show. So in kayfabe terms, like someone is actually very evil, but outside of that, maybe not so much. If that makes sense.
So kind of like how I can watch a Marvel movie and don't freak out because Spider-Man isn't real.
Very much. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yeah, you don't have to worry about that. It's definitely not. These things aren't happening in the real world. So don't worry. That's why wrestling can get like really crazy, because I'm supposed to believe that like supernatural occurrences happen in wrestling, and that's very much happening in the world of wrestling. But maybe somebody's not actually magical outside of it. But it makes it very fun because there's lots of like, there's like murders in wrestling. Like when you actually like maybe try to murder somebody by throwing them off a bridge or like doing something like that, but they're not actually dead. There's a lot of, it just makes for a lot of weird and crazy and fun occurrences.
Wait, so are they doing some of this stuff outside the ring?
Yes. So a lot of there's wrestling on the show, but a lot of it's like segments, like backstage segments. Some of it takes place outside. Like the thing that I just referenced, the throwing off of a bridge, way back in the Attitude Era, like sometime probably like 1999-ish, there was a segment like with The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin that they've filmed on a bridge, and The Rock like threw the WWF Championship off of the bridge and then pushed Stone Cold off the same bridge. So in kayfabe, we were supposed to believe that a murder perhaps occurred. And the next night afterward, like the next episode afterward, The Rock held a eulogy for Stone Cold, which he interrupted. Wrestling's wild. Have I mentioned wrestling is wild? Because it is.
What?
My favorite, one of my favorite things is fake kayfabe murders. Like in kayfabe murder is like one of the funniest and like best things ever. Also happened with Seth and Dean. Seth rammed Dean's head into some cinder blocks at the end of one of the Raws, and Dean was gone for 5 weeks. But the week after, Seth held a eulogy for him as well.
So if you're dead for 5 weeks, do you just have to hide and not let anybody see you?
You just don't. You're just not on the show. You're just not on the show. See, it's harder now because we have social media, in which they encourage the wrestlers to use. Good for everybody, and the story that Dean Ambrose hates the internet and never did use his Twitter ever. So when Dean was just gone, he was gone. And while they were like, yeah, this is a potential murder that happened, they were like, yeah, I don't know when we're going to see him again. Like they weren't like full on like he's dead. Like the eulogy is like a really like a, it's like a knife. It's like a salt in the wound type of thing that heels do. Not all of them do that, but they can pull it off. So the ones that can pull it off. And Seth definitely can. But Dean was gone. He just wasn't on the show for like 5 weeks after that. And it's maybe something, maybe he needed to do something. It's kind of like writing somebody off of your show. Like if they need to like go do something. but he was, yeah, he just wasn't on the program for like 5 weeks. And then he showed back up. And then he like in this, which is also something that wrestling sets up amazingly, like it's like these big surprise moments. So like when Dean did show back up, like on the night of like one of their pay-per-views, like to beat the hell out of Seth, it was like, yes, this is what I want to see. That's kind of how you build the anticipation. And it was like obviously extremely despicable that Seth had done, on top of everything else. But the extremely like smug villain holding a fake funeral for the person that you actually like they actually like put out of commission and or killed, it's something that only wrestling could potentially do, but it is like top tier heelery and it is very good.
So how do they sell the pay-per-view for that? Is it like next issue, do we see the return of Dean? Tune in to find out.
It's basically what happened that night was that Seth was supposed to face, like, you wouldn't know. They wouldn't tell you anyone was coming back or anything like that. You wouldn't know. But that pay-per-view was, like, Seth was supposed to, like, face, I think, Roman in a match. And like for some reason, like Roman like wasn't there. Like I don't remember the circumstances surrounding it, but like Roman didn't show up. So Seth goes out to the ring and he's like, you know, I'm such a generous guy. You know, I believe in giving people opportunities. So anybody at all, anybody in the back, if you want to face Seth Rollins tonight, you come on out here and we'll have a match. And you know, it's quiet. Like no one's coming out. The fans are booing. And then he's just like, anybody at all? Like, nobody wants to come out and face me. And then the monitor flips over to the entrance to the arena. And a cab pulls up and Dean walks out. And he storms out of the cab and up the ramp to beat the hell out of Seth. And it is great. It is a great moment because Seth is like having a meltdown in the ring because he thought he got rid of Dean forever. And the crowd is like cheering. It's just like one of those like good moments. Like, you know, and like I kind of liken it to turning like a page in a comic book and seeing like something like spectacular happen that you didn't like a good payoff. Or like this is something that maybe everybody can relate to. The moment in wasn't Endgame. Oh my God. The movie that came before it. That would be
Infinity War.
Thank you. It's like Infinity War when Vision and Wanda are like on the ropes and they go into that train station and the train goes by and then you see Captain America standing there. It's like that reveal moment. It's like that. Yes. Like the thing that makes you want to like punch the air. Wrestling is full of those and it's like pure distilled joy, which is also a good reason to like it. It's like you're giving me this moment that I absolutely crave. And it's not like perfect. Obviously, the storytelling's not always great. But when it hits, when it's hitting its marks, it's pretty damn good.
And Roman is the one that I think is a pint-sized Jason Momoa, right?
Correct. He is Samoan, just like Jason Momoa is. Roman Reigns is also The Rock's cousin.
Oh, I'm sure that never comes up at all, does it?
Not as much as you would think. Yeah, but Roman's the large one. Seth is the one that looks like he would probably stab you in the back. And Dean looks like he's maybe not all there. That's how you can tell the difference between all three members of the Shield. And I love them all. They are all good for different reasons.
I think that pretty much is what I ask about. So tying this back into comics a little bit, because, you know, the game side of things for the show is ridiculously easy. Wrestling games exist.
Yes. Yes.
Are there any actual good wrestling comics?
Okay. So in 2017, actually in 2016, excuse me, this was in 2016, probably like the back half of 2016, Boom Studios actually collaborated with WWE to make a series of comics. And Dennis Hopeless Hallam was the writer of these comics, and it's kind of like it's a lost little gem. I think I never knew about it. I knew about it, but I didn't know about it because I was like, why would I read this? Back in 2016, I wasn't thinking about wrestling, which is sad because wrestling was so good back then. It was like kind of on the periphery for me. So I knew he was writing these, but I was like, why would anybody read that? I went back and I read it and discovered that the majority of these comics are about the Shield. So I'm like, this is good content. So if you have a chance and you want to kind of see like a little bit about this without like having to watch wrestling, I do recommend those WWE Boom Studios comics because Dennis is a really good writer, and I think he does a great job, especially like capturing everybody's voices. The art's really, really great on them. I can't remember who the artist is who works on the majority of them, but I know during like the later ones, they started rotating artists. But you get to see all three Shield boys. You get to see Dean on his own, Seth on his own, Roman on his own. It's like one-off stories. They're pretty much all one-shots. Except for like a couple things that like tie the larger like arcing story together. And this is like a fun thing to pick up if you know peripherally anything about wrestling or WWE. I think they're a really good place to kind of dip your toes in.
Well, except for the whole, you know, watching 3 hours a week time commitment part, you might have convinced me to watch wrestling.
Here's the thing. You don't have to watch Raw or SmackDown. In fact, you don't have to watch WWE programming whatsoever right now. You can watch a breezy 2-hour AEW Dynamite show on Wednesday night. And that is, it's a very, very fun show. It's not as polished as WWE. But it is definitely like a very like viable alternative, and it's got my boy on it, and he just got stabbed in the eye last week, so he's turned into Big Boss. So if you like Metal Gear Solid, you can just think you're watching Big Boss wrestle every week.
Well, if that doesn't convince some people, I don't know what will.
Exactly. Right down to the camo pants and the eye patch. It's dead on. It was a very interesting turn of events last week, but I'm digging it. It's good. And if you want to hit me up at any point in time, anybody, I'll be more than happy to tell you or show you some things that I think you might like. I think the Shield is a good place for people to start because, one, they're really great wrestlers, and two, all their personalities are like laden with charisma. So I kind of liken them to like a boy band because there's one of them that you'll like. Like, out of the three members of the Shield, there's one that you'll like, I promise.
Well, Charlie, it's been great talking to you about this. If people want to hear more from you, where else can they find you around the internet?
Okay. If you want to find me on the internet, you can think that I do over at Genetic Ghost on Twitter. That's where I post all my comics thoughts, my wrestling thoughts, my everything thoughts. A lot of it's wrestling right now, but I promise I do write about comics and talk about comics from time to time. You can find my writing over at xavierfiles.com. I write writing two columns every time these comics come out. One about the new Guardians of the Galaxy series, and two about Excalibur every time that it comes out. So I'm definitely plugged into those things still. You can find my podcast, The Young Ones, at Young Ones on Twitter. And you will be able to find my new podcast, Match Club, very shortly, also on Twitter. There's no Twitter handle right now. I'll update everybody once there is one. But that's where you can find me if you so desire. Talk with me. I'm very happy to speak with you about anything.
Just a little peek behind the curtain. We are recording this one ridiculously early, so there's probably going to be a Twitter handle for the wrestling podcast down in the show notes.
Okay. Definitely, probably. I don't know what it is yet, but I'll let you know.
I will put it in there. And then everybody will have to read the show notes. Exciting in itself.
Exactly. We write them for a reason, so people better read them.
If you're one of the wonderful Patreon people who is at the dollar a month level or higher, thank you for your support on this. That is why you get this early, or everybody else gets it late. I don't know which way I want to sell it yet. And if you're not at that level, then I mean, it's a dollar a month and you can hear these as they come out instead of having to wait that extra month. It's an amazing little thing.
Patreons are good.
Patreons are very good. You should go support artists so that they continue to make cool things that you like. Blah, blah, blah. Am I choppy or anything at all?
You are not. Am I?
You're not, which also means the Canadian internet is the problem. Trent, ha, it was you.
I mean, Canadian internet, you just don't know.
It was better than the Alaskan internet, I'll give it that.
Well, that seems likely.